And this hour with Kenny Iris and Stacy Brown, we're going to take your phone calls about Sasquatch, the skunk ape as well. Jump on board, share your stories with us, or just share a question. And welcome back to Coast, back with Kenny Iris and Stacy Brown. Kenny, welcome back, my friend.
Hey, George, thank you.
Great, and I was looking forward to this interview with you and Stacy. You're doing a great job, both of you. What is it, that, Kenny, that drives you with this subject? What keeps pushing you?
It's really got to be just the mystery of it all. It really, I mean, the not knowing drives me crazy, to be honest with you. Again, you know, when I feel like I've got some sort of handle on it and I'm starting to, you know, kind of get somewhere with it, then that's when, like, the 10 to 20 other questions pop up. But it's definitely, you know, the mystery of it and embracing the whole mystery of the legend. And that really, really just, you know, keeps me going and keeps me driving.
How about you, Stacy?
It's just like I could end up being the guy that proves it. You know what I mean? I know that may sound a certain way, but
finally, right?
Yeah, when I first seen it, I was, you know, just maybe 15 feet away, and I didn't do nothing to get into that position. So I was like, oh, if I can try, you know, and maybe this time that I go out today, it's, you know, it's going to be the day that I finally get to see it again. I finally find something that proves this to the world, and that's really what I want to be a part of.
What would you prefer the creature to be from? From this planet? Something dimensional? An extraterrestrial? If you had a preference, where would you like it to come from?
If I had a preference, I would say interdimensional, because it would make sense with most of the stuff that I'm seeing. I don't want to figure out what it is and have more questions.
How about you, Kenny?
You know what I mean?
I'd really like it to be flesh and blood, but I guess, you know, like I said earlier, that kind of I see as extraterrestrial could be flesh and blood as well. So,
sure.
I guess, you know, extraterrestrial.
You know, I'm that way with extraterrestrial beings. I would like them to come from another planetary system, so I really know there's one out there, as opposed to some other universe. Or from within our own planet. There's something special knowing that they're coming from another planetary system, isn't there?
There is, yeah, definitely. And it kind of makes you, you know, kind of, I mean, when I think of the universe, like I think of, like, possibilities are endless. But to have something actually known to come from it and then possibly standing right in front of me really just kind of, you know, intrigues me to a whole different level.
Let's take some calls here, and I'll pass them on to either one of you or both of you. Let's start with Andy in California, Norwalk, California. Hi, Andy, go ahead.
Hi, great show, George. You're a great patriot. And
my question
to the gentleman from Florida is, did he or his dad go back the next day to see if there were any prints in the ground, and did they take any casts of the prints? And number two, it intrigues me, since I've had some experiences in the wilderness in California in years past, many years ago, that some of these, like, parallel universe type creatures seem to proliferate in those remote areas, and like we're on their turf, and they kind of like rule those areas, especially at night, since you know, we cannot see them like they can see us, evidently. I'd like to get your comments on both of those points.
All right, Stace, let's start with the first one. Did you go back to the scene?
Actually, the place was about an hour or so away from our house, so we didn't go back the next day. It was probably a week and a half, I want to say, before we got to go back. So any tracks or anything had been gone at that point. But after my dad caught that footage, he didn't want to do it no more.
Was he scared?
Out there. It wasn't that he was scared. I mean, he was scared. I'm not going to say he wasn't, but it was more of a, he proved it to himself, and that's all he wanted.
That's all he needed. He didn't need any more, did he?
Yeah, he got what he wanted, you know, and he was like, well, I'll go back and help you for the investigation. So we went and we took the numbers, but that was all daytime stuff. He didn't care to go back out. And that's, our motivations were different. I wanted to prove it to the world. He just wanted to prove it to himself.
And Kenny, what about Andy's second thoughts about this being interdimensional? Who knows what?
Yeah, I mean, it very well. Again, it's one of those things where interdimensional. I mean, I noticed the caller said something about interdimensional and being that we're kind of on their turf. So I just I'd be interested to find out what the caller actually meant by that, because I mean, you know, interdimensional would mean not necessarily of this world, from my understanding.
That's true. That's right.
So I kind of wonder what they meant on that, because I mean, I would see it to be kind of like our turf and our territory. So
what about the multiverse theory? Does that stand up with these creatures?
I think it stands up with everything. You know what I mean? I don't know. Once you get down into that rabbit hole, it just continues to go and go. But I don't really see why not. But you have to figure out, are these things here, or are they going, you know, other places? And there's enough reports where these things just disappear. There's weird lights, you know, so there's reasons to believe that.
Do you, does either one of you know Ron Moorhead, the Bigfoot hunter?
Yeah.
Good guy. I was at a live event with him a couple weeks ago in Everett, Washington. And talk about knowledgeable. My God.
Yeah.
I think he lives out there.
Yeah.
Next up, go ahead.
I've always said that if I ever had anybody narrate my life, I wanted it to be Ron Moorhead. He's got the coolest voice.
Yeah, he does.
Next to Stacy, though.
All right. When you can understand me.
Let's go to Donald in Florida. Donald, go ahead.
Well, hello, George. Hello, Kenny. Hello, Stacy.
Hi, Donald.
And thank you, Tom, for screening me through. I appreciate that. He's really great.
He's a good guy.
You're never going to find this creature because it cannot be possibly physical. I'm in Florida now, but originally I was in Pennsylvania, and I saw the creature multiple times and for a long period of time, and it did things that just were not possible that a physical creature can do. So I agree with you in what you're saying about it being, not actually physical.
Dimensional.
Yeah, I would say dimensional. Yes, correct. Because, and also on top of that, I got to add that the creatures that I saw, or the creature that I saw, had backup. That other creatures were watching me, watching him, and warned them that I was watching him. And it so freaked me out. It was amazing. And it made me a believer. And that's all I had to say.
All right. Thanks, Donald. And more cooperation, Kenny, in the interdimensional theory.
Yeah.
Doug in New Jersey, welcome to the program. Hey, Douglas, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, George, and thank you and Tommy for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a little confused. You have two guests here. I'd like to speak to the gentleman from the New York Bigfoot Society.
Sure. That's Kenny Iris.
Okay, Kenny. Yes, you were saying a little while ago that you haven't seen many juveniles. There's a video that I personally had shot. It was given out to Animal Planet and later became an episode on Finding Bigfoot. It's entitled The New York Baby Bigfoot, and that was shot in Modena, New York. And the film was showed to a couple of people, including Jane Goodall, who said that she has no doubt about it, that it's definitely a primate. What it's doing in the woods upstate New York, she has no idea. But she said, yes, she agreed. It's one of, they asked Bobo Fay. He said he believes it's one of the best top five videos that was ever taken, right up there with the Patterson and the Gimlin and the Freeman film. And I suggest you look it up. It's very easy to find. You just Google New York Baby Bigfoot, and that's the footage that I had shot. And like I said, they did a feature on Finding Bigfoot about it.
Tell us what was on the video, Doug.
Well, actually, when I shot the video, I had no idea that I was taking a picture of a creature.
Ah, okay.
It was a music festival that was starting on a Friday and running until Sunday. But if you got there on a Thursday, you had a better chance of getting good parking and whatnot. So that's what we had done. We set up our camp, and my friend had just gotten the campfire going. And him and my ex is sitting there. He's explaining on how he's going to melt his aluminum beer cans into this one tin can. He doesn't have to carry out all of his beer cans. He's going to take out one ingot. Well, I'm filming him saying this, and as so, in the background, you can see these three trees very well silhouetted by the setting of the sun.
Okay.
And this large creature comes out from the wood, stops there, and a smaller one jumps off of his back and begins to climb up into the trees.
And you didn't see that when you were filming, only later?
I didn't even notice it. In fact, it was filmed in 1996, and it wasn't until 2000, I'm sorry, it was filmed in 1998, and it wasn't until 2006 that my wife said, when are you going to, you know, get these tapes out of here? So I started putting them on and dubbing them on high speed. And, you know, when one would finish, I'd just switch out the next one. She comes screaming, running in the room, what is this? What is this thing in the tree? And I stopped and I watched it a half a dozen times. And I showed a buddy of mine, and he said, did you ever hear of Matt Moneymaker? I said, no. He said, he's the head of the BFRO, the Bigfoot Research Organization. He said, send him an email about this and tell him about the video you got. And within 24 hours, I got a return phone call from him. He asked me to send a copy of it. He did. They re-enhanced it. He sent me a re-enhanced copy of it. It blew me away because there was so much detail that I hadn't seen. And then they went ahead and used it for the episode, and they came and picked me up, and they drove me up there, upstate New York, where the incident happened. And later on that night, they did have activity in the area.
Can we see?
I am actually very familiar with that video. I have seen that multiple times, and that's I'm honored to be able to talk to you, and you calling in on the show that I'm on. Yeah, no, that's a very, very intriguing video. Absolutely, and I saw it on Finding Bigfoot as well. I know a few people that have looked into that and did some research on it. So it's a very, very intriguing video.
Where can people see this video, Doug? Can they?
Sure. It could be found on YouTube. And you could just go ahead and Google it. And is it all right if I say my last name?
If you want, that's up to you.
Okay. It's Doug Pridgen, Pridgen. New York Baby Bigfoot video.
You got it. Okay.
But for the best version of it, I recommend that you go ahead to the Animal Planet archives and look for the episode of the same title. Because you don't get to see me in the video because I'm videotaping it. But in that, they relive the whole story and everything, and then they show their hunt about it.
Kenny, isn't it fantastic that he was able to find it, but he didn't even know he had it?
Yeah. I mean, like I remember when I first saw the video, you know, I was looking at it and I'm just like, okay, I don't necessarily see anything. So I get why, you know, when he was taping, he didn't notice anything, because I mean, when I was watching, I was supposed to be seeing something. I didn't see anything at first. But yeah, I can definitely collaborate in the video. It's like you see something walk up, something large, and then something, if I remember right, jump off the shoulder or jump off of on top of whatever walked over and then in the tree, like swinging around. It's very intriguing.
Can we say comfortably, Kenny and Stacy, that people are seeing something without any doubt? Kenny?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. The gentleman that heads up the group that I'm with, the New York Bigfoot Society, he saw the fact that he now is saying that he had an encounter and saw Sasquatch right in front of him. I mean, in my mind, I mean, there's like no doubt that there's something out there.
Stacy, you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many reports, and like the BFRO states about 347 reports in Florida. I've taken myself probably over 500. And, I mean, even if five people out of that are telling the truth, you know, it warrants further investigation, because can't all these people be lying? You're talking about reports going back hundreds of years. So I really don't see the motive for it neither. It's not like any of this pays a lot of money.
It is truly remarkable. And do you go to conferences, both of you?
Yeah, I do.
And has COVID shut down some of them?
In Florida, we don't really have a COVID issue.
No, that's true.
That way, we live in a free state, and we're allowed to do basically what we want, you know, make your own decisions. You know what I'm saying? If you want to put a mask on, you can put your mask on. If you don't, it's not a big deal.
Kenny, how's this story going to break eventually? How does it unfold?
I think it's going to be something similar with the unidentified flying objects. There's going to be some type of pandemic that's going to roll out, and they're going to be like, oh, yeah, by the way, Sasquatch exists, but now you're going to die of this. So that's kind of how it kind of rolled out last year with the pandemic and saying, you know, the government saying, oh, yeah, UFOs exist, but you're going to die of COVID, so you got to be careful.
If we found a Sasquatch, they would probably either kill it or definitely capture it. I think that would make both of you go nuts.
Yeah, you know, the thing is you know, science does a lot of important work, as we know, but my fear is having, you know, one captured and, you know, dissected for our own good,
right?
If you will. So that's always in the back of my mind.
Or put in a zoo somewhere or something.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I don't want to see. I don't want to see it in a zoo. If there's a body and they need to dissect it, you know, do their science thing, I guess that's to protect the species, you know, to get us out in the forefront. You know, because people do need to know about these things. If there were a group of chimpanzees in your local city park, you would want to know before you walk your children around in there, you know. So people do need to know about them, but the last place I want to see these things is in a zoo.
Absolutely. We're going to come back with you, Kenny and Stacy, and take final phone calls in just a moment. Both of them have separate websites, which are linked up at coasttocoastam.com, American Cryptids in Pursuit of the Elusive Creatures. We will be right back with more on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, a classic show, Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer, joins us to talk about the other side. And then later on, Reverend Michael Carter joins us to talk about the history of alien abductions on Coast to Coast. We will come back in a moment with Kenny Irish and Stacy Brown and take final phone calls as we talk about cryptids, the American cryptids indeed. And welcome back, George Norrie, our final segment with Kenny Irish and Stacy Brown as we talk about American cryptids. Kenny, what kind of musician were you in your day?
Not a very good one. I played bass and guitar, and I always wanted to play the drums growing up, but I was gifted a guitar and a small little amplifier one Christmas, and learned how to play that, and then just kind of went from there. But I will say that I always, like I said, I wanted to be a drummer, and just this year, back in March, I think it was March or so, I actually bought my first drum set. So now I'm learning the drums. But I played, you know, a lot of punk, a lot of hardcore, and you know, some rock, But that was kind of my thing. But I love music, and that's kind of where my nickname comes from too. The cryptopunkologist, taking my two passions, music and cryptozoology,
good for you.
Kind of mushing them together.
We're dear friends with the drummer Kenny Aronoff. Have you ever heard of Kenny?
I have, and my friend Darren, if he knew that you'd mentioned Kenny Aronoff, he'd be like, "You got to be kidding me." Yeah, my friend's a huge, huge fan of Kenny Aronoff.
Kenny. Well, you check in with Tom one day, because Tom is real close with Kenny, and probably get him to make a phone call to your buddy.
Oh, hey, that would make his day.
He played with the best, and we're dear friends with Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top, John Fogerty. They're just they're fans of the show, probably listening to you right now.
Hey, that would be humbling.
Let us go to the phones. East of the Rockies, John in Gainesville, Georgia. Welcome to the program. Hi, John.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thanks for holding too.
Yeah. I never really thought much about the interdimensional thing, but whatever I saw in my backyard one night, it seemed to, you couldn't hear anything. You could see something moving, and it looked like it was standing up, then it dropped down like it was starting to run, but you never heard anything, and that sort of opens things up a little bit more. And also, I've talked to my friend who lived in Braselton Blairsville for a little while, and
yeah.
He said he had heard something up along the Appalachian Mountains up there. And that I know of, I don't know that anybody has ever seen any remains or anything, which would explain an interdimensional creature.
That's interesting. We'll talk about that in a second. What kind of backyard did you have, John?
Well, it was sort of a little bit flat, and the way we had a little garden spot that hadn't been used. It was just tilled up and everything, but I had a street light that sort of shined a little bit back in my backyard, just enough to where I could see something, and it looked brownish, a light brownish, grayish looking color. And
were you afraid to go outside in the back there?
Oh, I had a friend that was with me, and we both saw it. And when we saw it, we didn't waste any time.
I don't blame you, Kenny. Any questions for our guest here, John? Kenny.
Nope. You actually just asked the question that I would have asked.
Okay. All right, great. John, thanks. I'm glad everything's okay. How many people, Kenny, get scared when they see this creature?
I haven't personally talked to anybody that has witnessed what they believe to be a Sasquatch, and we're not. Everybody...
They're all shaken up, aren't they?
Exactly. Perfectly said. They're definitely, there's something there. There's something there that's with them. And part of it is they're questioning everything they believed before. You know, it's just because it just kind of came out of the blue one day, and then it was there. So it doesn't correspond with what they've grown up knowing or understanding about the world around them. So a lot of people now question, everything they originally believed.
You find that to be the case too, Stacy? People are just scared of this thing? Stacy, you still with us? Well, Stacy's disappeared. Okay, well, we will call him back as soon as we can. Let's go to Bill in Los Angeles. Welcome to the program. Hi, Bill.
Hey, George. I heard George Knapp interview a Bigfoot researcher on your program last year, and the guy played a 1970s era cassette tape that had been forensically verified as untampered with.
Mm-hmm.
And it featured an alleged Sasquatch family, they think, arguing in a non-English language about food. And then about 6 months ago, I heard somebody on Connie Willis's Coast to Coast program playing an audio of in between him and a Sasquatch. I think he calls himself Vancouver Sasquatch. That was positively the most bizarre thing I've ever heard. Like, it sounded like a combination of a bunch of musical instruments when this thing was talking, but it was using comprehensible English. And I wondered if your guests are familiar with any of these audios, which would indicate very clearly that this thing is so intelligent that it would be akin to murder or something to kill it.
Well, I would agree with that. Kenny, what do you think?
I definitely agree with that. I personally I'm going to have to look those up because I'm not familiar with those. The only recording that I'm familiar with from, you know, years back would be the Sierra sounds, but the one you're speaking of, no, I'm not familiar with that one. And what did you say the name of it was?
He's gone now.
Oh, he's gone. Oh, okay.
All right, and we have lost Stacy, so it's you and me, Kenny.
All right.
Next up, let's go to Dwayne in Diamond Springs, California. Welcome to the show. Hello, Dwayne.
Hello, George. I finally get to talk to you.
Perfect. Good to have you with us.
Yes, hello, Kenny. I wanted to relate to you four experiences that I've had with Bigfoot over the years. And in this... The first one was in 1971, and it was, you know, where Bowen Lake is in British Columbia?
I don't. Sure. How about you, Kenny? Do you?
Sure. I believe I know what he's talking about.
Okay.
It's a chain of lakes that form almost a perfect square about 100 miles around.
That's good size.
And I was with my aunt and uncle. He had a cabin on a hillside on the main lake, Bowen Lake itself. You had to go across the lake by boat to get to the cabin. And we were planning on spending 10 days up there. And at night, you could hear these real loud, ear-piercing-like howls. Okay? And then it would echo across the lake up into a canyon. And then about 20, 30 minutes later, you would hear a response coming back. And, of course, this cabin was a one-room cabin, so you had an outhouse. And there were several times that we'd go out and you would hear nothing, not even an insect. But you'd smell this horrendous stench, and it was not the outhouse.
What do you think of that, too, Kenny? We get always reports of this odor that comes from these creatures.
Yeah, a lot of the individuals who I spoke with when I was writing the book about their encounter, a lot of them had there was an odor. There was an odor in the air that was some described as skunky like. And others describe it as kind of like hot garbage. So, I mean, it's very, very common, when it comes to, encounters that, you know, some folks will smell something in advance to actually witnessing something.
That tells me it's more physical than dimensional. Dimensional, you wouldn't have any odors.
Yeah.
I think Stacy's back with us. Stace, you back?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Sorry about that. But on your comment about smells with the dimensions, every time, it's known that, like, when demons are present, there's a very sulfuric smell. So yes. I don't know if that has anything to do with anything, but the smells we get down from the skunk ape are also very sulfur-like.
Let's take some final calls here. We've got Leo in Oregon to get us started here. Leo, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, and thank you, George. You're an asset to Coast to Coast AM.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, when I was a younger fellow, I sighted what appeared to be a family or tribe unit. It was a female with two small ones, and either two or three larger individuals. Basically what happened, I came up over the top of a ridge and looking down into a holler, what y'all call a holler over there, and there was a pioneer apple grove, pears and apples and all kinds of, and they were eating out of those trees.
Uh-huh.
And here's the thing. The minute I stuck my head over the top of that ridge and looked down into that valley, the female instantly turned right around and looked right at me.
They didn't run away, huh?
No, she locked eyes with me, and I was, you know, in shock. I stood there, and she looked at me, and I looked at her, and she was ushering everybody in back into the tree line. And it wasn't like, because we're, you know, close to 1,000 yards away from each other.
That's
and
a long way.
Like she did a searching look. She looked instantly directly at me. She knew exactly where I was standing.
And did she stay staring at you?
Oh, yeah. She stood staring at me for you know, while she was ushering the rest of them into the tree line. And then she walked into the tree line, still looking at me as if to say, okay, we're leaving. You can come down now.
What did they look like, Leo?
Oh, good heavens. They look like your conventional Sasquatch, you know, covered in hair. I've been close enough to actually hear one doing the knock, you know, the three knock against the tree trunk. And the stench that you're talking about, I honestly believe that that stench is a lack of hygiene.
Well,
you got all that hair.
They don't know how to take showers, that's for sure.
Yeah. I think that's where that smell was coming from. But, yeah, that female, she looked right at me, and it was a good long rifle shot. I mean, I didn't carry a weapon with me, but she looked instantly at me. It wasn't a searching look. It was like, boom, you're right there.
But you felt safe. You didn't feel like you were in harm's way.
I was a little spooked, and I honestly believe they have a sixth sense where they can project the feeling of fear, kind of like a reverse empathy kind of thing.
What do you think of that, Kenny?
I've had many people mention a similar situation. Some people have actually said there's been like it's nothing I've ever experienced, but like a form of mind speak where they can actually communicate with you
telepathically.
Again, there's nothing I've ever experienced, and I just know that there's a few people that have mentioned that, but you know, that could very well have something to do with that whole situation.
Kenny, if you came face to face with a Sasquatch, would it scare you?
What's that?
If you came face to face with a Sasquatch, would it scare you?
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I without a doubt would definitely be scared. As bad as I do want to know, I definitely would be. I'd be in the same line as everybody else in the same mindset, I'm sure.
How about you, Stacy?
I was terrified. I was dumbfounded when I looked at it, and it was just unbelievable. So much like feelings and emotions to kind of process all at once. And it was like, oh, wow, we're in the enclosure with the thing. It's kind of what it felt like, you know. It wasn't a good feeling, and then you want that feeling again, you know. It's kind of weird, hard to explain, because I'm still after it today, you know, still trying to see another one, and I know what I do. I'm going to be terrified just like I was the first time.
But you keep doing what you're doing, both of you.
Yes, sir.
All right, Kenny and Stacy, thank you for being on the program. Do keep in touch with us, and if you find a Bigfoot, you know where to come back to, okay? Kenny Irish, Stacy Brown. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, Tim Banal, George Knapp, and Ian Punnett, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.